This is probably not the happiest day in the lives of the apostles, not as grim as Good Friday, but definitely not, I think, a joyful day in some ways. Jesus left them. The one who had spent all this time with, the one they had listened to, the one they had been awed by his miracles and his words, the one they had watched suffer and die, the one who had come back to them risen from the dead, this incredible person now just left them behind. I can't imagine that there wasn't some pang of pain at that time, because any time we say goodbye to a friend or someone who's close to us for whatever reason, there's always some sadness. Some sadness because we will no longer have them in our company. We will no longer be able to share with them time and stories and work and whatever it is that just being with them can add to our lives. And so Jesus left. But more than that, he left them with a challenge, and he left them with a commission. And the challenge was to be his representatives to the world, which oddly enough was also their commission. They were to go forth and tell the world about him, to help the world to come to know that God had been among his people, that all those psalms and prayers and statements of the prophets of old had been fulfilled in this person, Jesus Christ. And he had asked them, he had told them, to make sure that they knew about what he had said and what he had done. But ultimately he gave them the command that would supposedly and hopefully confirm their story. And that is that they were to love one another as he had loved them. By this will the world know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. And I think the mission that he gave them is our mission today. And it wasn't to go forth and preach the way the apostles did and go to new countries or places where Jesus hadn't been heard about, because in some ways the world has already heard about Jesus. But do they know Jesus? Have we made known Jesus to our world? Have we really been the disciples with the vindication, the validation, the proof that Jesus has been with, is with us? Have we really loved one another as Jesus has loved us? Have we really loved the world as Jesus has called us to? Can the world really look and point to us and say, we know you are the disciples of Christ because of the love that you live? It would be fine to say, well, yeah, we can say that, and people ought to see that, but, you know, considering what's happened in the last 2,000 years, and what's going on today, I think something's come up short. And I think there's been a challenge that hasn't been fulfilled. It's been a commission that we haven't quite fulfilled. Nor have our forebears in some ways. We don't have to look far to know why and to know how that this has failed. Violence in our world, prejudice, all kinds of things, the lack of peace and tranquility in our country. It's really kind of interesting. There are some things about today's civil celebration, or the civil celebration this weekend, which really kind of help us to see and hear and make comparisons with who we are and what we are about as Christians and what our nation is about. You know, what did Christ pray for at the Last Supper? He prayed that we may be one, that all of his children, all of his people be one as he and the Father are one. The first challenge given to those who implement the Constitution of the United States, in the words of the preamble, are to form a more perfect unity. The preamble also is a challenge to establish justice, provide for domestic tranquility, Those are words that are not foreign to the gospel. Justice and peace are really in some ways at the heart of the gospel message. Justice for all, peace among peoples. What is it the angel said when Christ was born? Peace on earth to people of goodwill. We are supposed to be a people that exudes peace and justice and tranquility. We are supposed to be a people that does this because those are signs of love. Those are expressions of love. And we are called to do those things that are signs of love. And in our own day, and in our own time here in this archdiocese, there is a term that is being bandied about what's called the new reality in the archdiocese and in the Church of Chicago, and that is that we are to be missionary disciples. We are not just to be followers of Christ, but we are supposed to be proclaimers of Christ, and we are supposed to live lives that reflect the presence of Christ so powerfully that people around us have to come and say, "What do you have? What is it that you know? Who is it that is among you that causes you to be this way?" And there are going to be all kinds of discussions and prayers and implementation attempts for all of us to really get out there and change the world. Really, change the world. This is a no-fooling thing. You know, the Archdiocese, part of the reason we've come to this point, we talk about Renew My Church and this missionary disciples thing is because we've noticed the holes, the spaces in the pews. There have been more spaces in the last 10 years than there were before. And why are those spaces there? Why are people not joining us? Why do not people come to be with us? Because they have seen something, they have experienced something from us that draws them to this place. It draws them to this experience of Eucharist. There are wonderful theological things we could say, pastorally, theological, and all that, which talk about what we're supposed to be about. But I think there needs to be a little practical, nitty-gritty clarification and expression of just what it is to be a missionary disciple. Things that in our society and in our world can be understood and seen for what it is, a different way of life. Years ago, there was a term that was used about what the church is supposed to be about, what we are supposed to be, who we are supposed to be as God's people, and it was a scary phrase. It's even a scarier phrase today, I think, sometimes, and that phrase was counterculture. We are supposed to witness to a culture different than our society tells us we should live, because it's not about what we acquire, it's not about how wealthy we can be or how comfortable or how free from different things, so much as how we share, how we give, how we live, how we love. And how we have regard for the marginalized, the poor, the outcast, the gospel people that Jesus spent so much time with because he loved the sick and the poor, the prostitutes and the tax collectors, the foreigners, those different from himself. And we are supposed to really about proclaiming, while we are different from one another, that no different human being is ever really other than us. We are all the same in the family of God. We are all part of that family. We are all God's children. We are all brothers and sisters in that family. And there is no other among us. We are different because God didn't create us identical. He created us in his image and likeness, but nothing in there says anything about being identical. We are all going to be different. But to reflect the fact that God is such a complex mystery, we don't understand and we'll never understand till we come face to face with him. But there are simple things that have become a part of our lives that would be, I think, powerful means to witness to the world that there are no others in our concept of humanity, differences, but not otherness, that we welcome all human beings as brothers and sisters. We see all nations, and really, and this is a reflection of what is the expression of today's celebration and next Sunday, is that we are supposed to truly be a universal body, community of faith. Universal, all people. And we express this by the fact that we stand on a really important principle as Christians. If we are to love, that means we are to acknowledge, to support, to defend, to nurture and nourish the human dignity of every human being. No matter how different they may be from us in color, in language, or where they come from, or how they do things, wealthy or poor, sick or healthy, brilliant or not, that every human being demands our respect and love because they, like us, are children of God. And if you want to put it, I'm going to put it really before the mic explodes. Try one really practical way. We all have habits. We've grown up with ways of expressions and saying things in our families and in our communities because that's where we learned that in our families. And we learned that in school when we went to school. We learned that with our friends, people we have hung out with who most of the time are very much like ourselves. Because we kind of like to hang out with people like ourselves because, you know, people who we don't like or don't agree with us, they're not always welcome in our lives. And we have names for them. We have nicknames. We have pejorative nicknames. We have demeaning nicknames. We have dehumanizing nicknames that will roll off our tongues without a second thought. And that's part of the problem. We will say these things without thinking about them, because they have become so much a part of who we are, and they should be so foreign to who we are. And it doesn't matter what it is. You can think of any nickname reference to people of other nationalities, not just other colors or ethnicities, people who don't agree with us, just even in sports teams. You know, it doesn't have to be profound things like faith or politics. It can be as simple and ordinary as calling a person a cheddarhead. It's funny. No, it's not. We're taking away their humanity. We are colorizing them, and we are reducing them to a piece of cheese. Do you want to be reduced to a piece of cheese? Really? You think that's funny? That's the problem. We do think it's funny. Most of us think it's funny. I used to joke about my sister. She moved to Wisconsin, and I said, well, she drank the Kool-Aid. That wasn't a really appropriate thing to say. But it's the thing that rolls off our tongue without a second thought, but it's demeaning and dehumanizing. It's a denial of the humanity and the dignity of another person. But it's a simple thing. It's so simple. That was an easy one to use. Some references to nationality are really nasty. Some references to people of color are really abusive. Some references to people who don't agree with us politically are downright vicious. We are supposed to, as Pope Francis says, build bridges, not walls. Unity is what Christ prayed for. Not division. He prayed for love and respect, not for denigration and denial. If we are going to truly take up the call, our mission is the same in some ways as the apostles. We are to be such a powerful living expression of the loving presence of Christ in our world that it cannot be ignored. That's our mission. Because that's what leads to the vision of the kingdom of God present in our world. But our mission is to be that living expression. And so our challenge is to do those things which make that mission who we are and what we are about. And let us not forget, there were some really powerful words in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of his glory and his inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe. I am reminded that this weekend is dedicated to the remembrance of those who died for the peace and security that we enjoy as Americans. The millions of men and women who, on the battlefield and in training and in other ways, lay down their lives that we may be where we are today. I don't think they all realized the courage they had to do what they did. But when the time came to do it, they were able to do it. I think we need to believe that we have the courage to do the things Jesus demands of us because he gives us that power and that courage. And while we may not feel that courageous at times in the midst of friends who would use all those terribly pejorative terms and stand up and say, these are human beings, these are our brothers and sisters, these are children of God, that if our brothers and sisters can lay down their lives for our freedom and our existence here in this world, what can we not do for our brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God?